Blog Talk Radio.
Peace. I said Miriam Ali, and it is July 19th, 2016, and you are with me for the Heart Recap. I'm very excited about this show tonight. But before we go, I need to pray to my partner. Thank you for allowing me to do for those just willingly say we are going to give ourselves to the work that God wants us to do. A lot of times that's hard, so we are thankful that we are even given the opportunity to do it. And a lot of people whose work may not be this drastic or this small, just be thankful to even have been able to wake up this morning. So, yes, blessings upon blessings to everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are going to go right into what last week was, because I think it's going to be important to discuss as much of the details as we can. Obviously, I want people to come and participate in the class so that you can really get the full-fledged experience, because me recapping is do it. However, because it is such it's incredibly vulnerable, transparent people in the class, and I'm thankful for everyone who has agreed to go on this journey for the couple of weeks to get through HEART, and hopefully everyone will go into the community together in personal. So first, let me explain to you what HEART is. HEART stands for Healing African-American Relationships Today, and it is the healing the interpersonal relationships with the Black community, because we are plagued with post-traumatic slave syndrome. And if you are familiar with Dr. Joy Duguri, someone that I admire her work, you know how detrimental post-traumatic slave syndrome has affected what we are doing now. A lot of the behavior that we experience with another are ancestral, and now, if you know, I'm a nerd, so I love science, and now we are discovering where we actually hold on to our memories of our ancestors. So can you imagine what that looks like for those who are and do slavery? And how many generational, you know, the saying of generational curses. This didn't come from anywhere, you know, the curse of the father, all of the curse of the mother, all of these things didn't come from anywhere. It's because we are repeating and doing things over and over and over in this cycle, because we're not facing what post-traumatic slave syndrome has done. Imagine any warrior who comes back from Iraq or comes back from defending their country, and they hear fireworks, and it's received as if it is gunshots, okay? If that's just done on an audio level, imagine what the spiritual and the energetic level of slavery has had and the toll that it has had on our communities. The week before, last week, we covered Black marriage and the importance of Black marriage. And one of the things that came up within Black marriage was that full marriages used to stick it out through whatever. And in one sense, that's a good thing. In one sense, you see two people who have been to heaven and back and hell and back with one another, and they stuck by each other's side, and they got through it, and they were able to do it. On the other hand, it's also a liberation that you don't have to stay in traumatic or healthy relationships anymore, because you can actually reach that level of unhealthiness. And one of the things that the sisters brought up was, you know, it's unfortunate that the cost of the unhealthiness usually is a show for the Black woman. And we've gone through all of these steps. We've gone through what post-traumatic slave syndrome is the first week. The second week was the Black woman and her contribution to the community. Of course, then we go into the Black man. These two classes are very unique because these two classes, the Black man is not allowed to speak. He is only allowed to lend support without verbal contribution. that for the second week when we're talking about black women, and then the same is true for black men. Sisters are not allowed to speak. They can only lend their support through nonverbal communication, and it makes us tap into a higher understanding. And it reminds us, God gives us the interconnectedness. So our body language, we become conscious of our facial expressions. We become conscious of our tones, conscious of our influx in conversation, how we say something. All of these things become a factor when you aren't able to contribute verbally. It also ensures that we learn effective listening skills, because one of the major things that comes from these interpersonal relationships being broken is that there's not effective communication. We don't know how to receive a different perspective and be okay with that different perspective and still be able to find resolution. We have been so plagued with abandonment. We have been so plagued with all of these attributes that do not support productivity, that anytime it's time to be productive, we're looking at each other like we're Boo Boo the Fool, because we don't know how to do these things. This is why we are killing each other. This is why we are abandoning each other. This is why we are betraying each other. It's all of these things because we don't know how to communicate. And it all, let me say this very strongly, it all comes down to effective communication. I had to be very firm in saying how important effective communication is, because we're dealing with ex-spouses and baby mama, baby daddy. Now, I do want to say that this is very important to acknowledge the difference between being an ex-spouse and being a baby mama, baby daddy, okay? And in my humble opinion, if you are an ex-spouse, out of respect for that person and the role that they have, if you guys did have children, it should be honored that they are your ex-spouse before they are your baby mama and your baby daddy. There was kind of a general consensus in this particular group of people. I'm not saying that this has to be the consensus, but there was a general consensus that baby mama, baby daddy is coined with the taste of disrespect. And this is because, you know, the connotation that comes with it, the energy that comes with it, the spirit that comes with it. When you were married to someone, you were investing your life, not just the best interest of another person's life, which i.e. your child, that you will eventually not even have to be engaged with this person if you choose not to be. Until that, once that child is grown, there's no need for you to continue to engage unless, you know, there's a healthy space to do that. But if you choose not to engage anymore, you're not in an ill position, or you're not, you know, in contempt for not doing that. However, when you say, this is my ex-spouse, this is my ex-husband, this is my ex-wife, it gives the honor that we attempted to try to mend a life together, to build a life together. And we, as a collective people, kind of have to start honoring those positions within our lives, just because, you know, a lot of times we'll be bitter, we'll be frustrated, we will be holding on to something that is not for us, that is not productive for us, and we will still want some type of stake in someone else's life, or we are allowing someone else to have a stake in our life who is not a contributing factor in that particular role. Just because you have children with someone does not mean that ex person is to have some honorable position in your life that will hold space, okay? That will hold space from blocking someone who should be in your life, okay? And we have to be conscious of this. And you don't want to hold that space for someone else, because when you are trying to still control and dictate someone else's life who you aren't genuinely interested in contributing to their life as a whole, i.e. be their spouse anymore, you need to get out of that space, because now you're getting in the way for your productivity, for that person who may be deserving of that space from you, and you're going to only push that person away, because how long can someone stand, right? So the first thing is we define that. We define that there is a difference between being an ex-spouse or not, and how you define marriage is how you define marriage. If it is through the court system, if it is through religious system, if it is through I'm going to say you my wife. You going to say you my husband. Whatever it is, however you define it, and however it looks, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be by the world's definition. You may have been in a committed relationship with someone for 6 years and genuinely were building your life together. We did kind of have another consensus saying, you know, that's husband and wife stuff, you know, and no, the title didn't come and all of this, but somebody was expecting that title to eventually come, to have been invested, even if it was just one person. So out of honor for that one person who was showing up to invest their life, to be productive, that was the consensus. That it, marriage didn't have to be defined by anybody else, but if you did look at this person and say, we are going to invest our lives into one another, that was the definition for us. Then baby mama, baby daddy. It could be that, or it could be this was an accident child, or it could be, you know, we were friends and we decided, you know, we didn't really like nobody, none of the pickings, and so we decided to make a child together. All of the different scenarios where there isn't a relationship involved and maybe there wasn't a long-lasting relationship involved, and these are your baby mama, baby daddies. This still, just because it's short and just because it was an accident, doesn't mean that these attempts of control, these attempts of holding a space so no one else can have that space for that person on an intimate level, these things can still be a factor, even if you were not consciously saying that this is the significant person that I'm with. Those factors still, a lot of times a child brings possession. And we have to go back to whatever word you believe. If it's the Bible, if it's the Quran, if it's the Torah, whatever belief system you come from, whatever, even if it's comedic sciences, what you have to remember is that these children truly do not belong to us. They come through us, but truly they do not belong to us. And so when we get back to remembering that, we keep that at the forefront. Our job is to parent, and a part of our test will be what I am sure that everything that we have ever done, we will have to answer to. So this is one of those contributions. And a lot of times that brings possession. People think that they have the right. Let me say this again. They think they have the right to come and say what is happening on an intimate level with the parent that they should be co-parenting with. And when you have these, unfortunate ties because someone wants control, this is where you cause mayhem, okay? When you get out of folks' way, when you get out of your own, and it really comes with doing your self-work. So the first step to dealing with your ex-spouses is to do your self-work past the situation. A lot of times, and I don't know about any other community, so I'm only speaking from the community I come from and the community I'm invested in trying to heal. But the consensus is we go our separate ways, and we never really put closure to the experience and the exchange of our relationship with this person, because we leave it open thinking that that is what is healthy for this child to see, and it is not. That is the furthest thing from what you should be showing your child. Well, I said, how could you say that? Because the door, you never know what tomorrow will bring. No, that's not true. If you're not going to stand and put the work in this moment, then get out of the way, put the closure to it, and allow the next moment for that person's life and your life to happen. Because the child needs to see productivity can happen just because we don't get along. Productivity can happen. We can still be cordial. We can even get to a place where we become friends again. But there is an understanding that I'm not in your way and you're not going to come in my way, because there's a sacred space that you no longer hold. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. Whatever the reason is, it does not matter what the reason is. Closure has to happen. Other times, closure will happen one-sided, right? One person will say, I'm over this, I'm moving on with my life, and I want to be productive. The other person is stuck. How do you deal with that without compromising your ability to exchange and be a good parent? That is always the question. How can I deal with someone who I know probably still loves me, still in love with me? Or how do I deal with someone who I'm still in love with and I don't want to move forward? I still want to, well, you need to do some self-work and give yourself time and space, okay? There's no need to check in, you know, you have to accept that it is what it is. You may not like it. I'm sure you didn't get married to get divorced. 15 to 21 years with your children where you were actually consciously having to care for them, correct? Right? And so as you are doing this, 18 and 21 years, that's gonna come by fast. Them children leave the house and you realize you don't like the person that you're with. You guys don't get along. You guys have just been making it for the sake of these children. And then you spend the next 30 years miserable? No. That is not, that's a blessing. It's a blessing. Sometimes loss is your greatest gain because you may lose something so you can gain your greater self, so you can gain a stronger relationship with the Creator, so you can gain a stronger platform to do your life's mission, because this person may have been stopping you by being discouraging or not supporting what you see and your vision and all of these things, and now you haven't lived your life and you can read a book and you can, I mean, all of these different things, the freedom that comes from understanding your blessings, but more than anything, trusting the process. This is a mantra that I say in heart. You got to trust the process. I probably say this from the moment class starts until about 40 minutes in the class. You guys have, I don't know, this doesn't make sense, Offset. What are you trying to say? So I'm supposed to just subject myself? And, you know, it's just this combative. And this is a wonderful mirror for all of us to see. This is really the state of the Black community. We will not receive healing and growth if it's not coming where it's delicious to our taste buds. If it doesn't taste like strawberry whipped cream, pickles and potato chips, if it's not what we need, if it's not sweet or salty to our liking, we will completely not eat it. And disregard that what someone is handing you may have all of the nutrients that you have, and it might be uncomfortable to your taste buds, but when you swallow it, what's going to give to your body, your emotional body? Okay, I'm giving an example of physical, but think about your emotional body, your mental body, your spiritual body. So when we are getting these tools, we combat. And these are effects of post-traumatic slave syndrome because we have been conditioned to be unhealthy. We have been conditioned to stay in unhealthy relationships. We have been conditioned. So when we see something show up that's healthy, all we know what to do is to combat it, is to be back, to be unhealthy. And it's up to us to understand when you make the decision to make someone your ex, or this is just the mother of your child or the father of your child, when you get into that space, there is an element of sacred space you don't hold anymore. You forfeit that. And it is up to you to be responsible enough to properly forfeit it. And if that means you need time before you get into another relationship, if that means you need time before you actually begin to find a safe space to even open up, where you're even considering jumping into something else, this is the time that you need. And it's crucial to the productivity of you being able to have a healthy exchange with the co-parent of your child, okay? Now we also talked about ex-spouses and exes don't necessarily mean that a child was produced. What about those people who got married or were in a long-term relationship and they didn't produce any children, but they are still in the community? Should they still be nasty to one another? No, these steps still apply. When you walk away from someone, you walk away from that sacred space. You shouldn't be worried about who they're sleeping with. You shouldn't be worried about who they're dating. You shouldn't be See, you have to, and that's a healing process that you have to go through, and a purging and a releasing of expectations that you had, and the thoughts and the visions. And I thought I was going to be with this person for the rest of my life. And all of these things you have to let go of and begin to do the work so that you can show up to be productive, because that's far more important, especially when children are involved. But that's far more important than your need to be attached and have a control on a situation, or to be possessive. When our children come into place, we like to be possessive of our children. That's my child. That's my daughter. No, yes, you birthed them and you planted the seed. But in all actuality, that child belongs to the Creator. And that child's path of choosing you and choosing the co-parent, that path was intentional. And because that path was intentional from the Creator, you have nothing to do with that but being a vessel. So because that path was intentional, y'all not being together is a part of that child's plan. So don't create more mayhem trying to be controlling any situation. And you have to remove. You have to remove the thoughts and the ideas and the expectations so that you can begin to move forward. The other thing is that, like I said a couple of minutes ago, most people, there's usually one person who gets over the situation quicker, and you have to, the person who gets over the situation quicker, you have to be compassionate to that other person's process, not because you owe them, but because compassion is a good trait to have. It doesn't have anything to do with, I gave this person 16 years, and if you didn't understand after 16 years, blah, 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 you're still making excuses. You have to be compassionate to what that person's process is. We spoke in the class, and I talked about, you know, there's a, that when you are in this space over here, you're 15 steps ahead of somebody who just got off of the finish race, who just got off of the starting line, I'm sorry, and you're almost finishing the race. How loving can you be? At what point? You love this person, and if it's genuine, real love, love does not go away. It doesn't fade away. Love isn't something that you know, you can't say I love you and then 6 years later tell someone you don't love them. If you did, if you can, it wasn't real love. Just because the position of a role changes, right, it doesn't mean that you stop loving them, because the vibration of love is God. Let me say that. If y'all write notes, write that down. The vibration of love is God. It's God. How dare you think you can take the gift that God gave to both of you to exchange away? You can't do that. So you have to, that's another thing, that's the next thing that you have to accept. The role of your exes, that love is real and it's genuine. And until you can get to a place where you are healed enough to genuinely honor that love is real. The role has changed. You may not be in love with that person anymore. So if once you open up your heart and say, I love you, you can't unlove something. You can't. That's like saying, I know something and now I don't know it anymore. Once you know how to ride a bike, you know how to ride a bike. You can't unknow how to ride a bike unless you've had damage in your brain. You cannot do that. So to get past the thought and the idea that you cannot exchange love because you're not with that person, again, that is actually a sign of possession. That is actually a sign of wanting to have control. And you can't do that. You were a beautiful lesson for that person. Person be a beautiful lesson for you. For those of us who have children with our ex-spouses, still the gift of children. How could you not love your ex when you see half of them every day? You can't do that. So we have to stop living in an illusion that being cold and being heartless and being unloving is how we need to deal with our exes. That's not Black community. That's not African community. That's not humanness, in my opinion. And I think a lot of my opinion is because I come from the Black community. So we can't see, how can you be operational? How can you really truly be the best parent and you're not loving to the co-parent? So when you are 15 steps ahead and you have finished the race of getting over y'all's personal, intimate relationship, and you know that this other person has not, be compassionate. Be now, this doesn't mean to create a space of manipulation. This doesn't mean to take advantage, because you can still be manipulative, being cold and heartless too. I am saying honor that someone needs that space. There might be a conversation that's needed for closure. Person, closure. You have no idea what spiritual and energetic chaos you cause when there is not closure to a situation. Now, granted, two people can get healthy, do their healing work, and closure, and a closure collectively isn't necessary. The actual times those happen are rare. However, it's rare that you're going to find two people that say, you know what, I'm going to heal in this corner, you go heal in that corner, and the closure will be done because we've done our healing work at the same time, but it didn't have to be collectively. Sometimes you're going to have to say, look, you know, sometimes our exes, and those of us who have children, we have experienced this, and sometimes it's you who's doing it. We have experienced where we lash out to our exes. I can't believe that you wouldn't let me be this person, and how come you chose this person over me, and why didn't you get, we've gone through that, right? And someone who has a compassionate heart, you can only gain compassion by being compassionate to yourself. When you understand the process of the healing work it takes to get over someone and to still say, I still want to be productive with this person, you have to be compassionate to yourself. So when you're patient with yourself, you understand the importance of giving it to the other person. So when that person shows up, you honor that, and you say, you know what? Get all of it out. Say everything you need to say. I'm going to give you this platform to scream, to holler, to cuss me out. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take it, because I know this step is needed for you to get to the next step. And you don't even have to say that. Just allow the process to happen. Say, look, I am going to honor. There's one closure conversation that we need to have. I honor that. I honor that. Then begin to put limits. Then begin to put boundaries up. Not for the sake of feeling in danger. Everything is said that needs to be said, then you can say, okay, look, this is how I'm going to do this. So that I'm not emotionally contributing to your unhappiness, because I care about your well-being, these are the boundaries that will be set. If it's not about the children, we don't talk. If it's not this, there's no need for small talk. I've moved on here. You moved on here. All of these things, this is where boundaries get set, and someone has to be the bigger person. And if you're not willing to be the bigger person, you can't get upset with the chaos that comes in. A lot of times we don't acknowledge how much attention and how much validation our exes give to our self-esteem, how much confirmation we allow, and how much power we give to our exes and our baby mamas and baby daddies. We neglect that when we see our exes looking at us, right, looking at us in a certain way, that it feeds our ego. And because we don't acknowledge those things, because we are sitting back rooted and we're not affected by it and blah, 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 lying to ourselves, okay, we are completely and totally lying to ourselves. And because we do that, what happens is, We feed subconsciously into this energy, into this attitude. And when it becomes chaotic for us, we're confused. And I don't think we're really confused. I think we like to act naive. I think we like to give that illusion even to ourselves. But at the end of the day, that is oppression. That is harmful. That is hurtful. And psychological warfare is the worst warfare of all. So that's a huge step, huge, huge step, to offer closure. And when closure needs to happen, whoever the bigger person is, allow yourself to be the bigger person and let the closure happen. And let the closure get to a space where you can figure out how do I become productive to give this energy, all of the energy that I need to give it, so that we can raise these children properly, so that we can be co-parents in the highest capacity without overstepping boundaries and without holding space that isn't our space. Then we talked about the importance of recognizing the two separate relationships. There's a relationship as co-parents, and then there's a relationship as ex-spouses. And those two relationships, even in marriage, you know, we talked about this in the week before when we were talking about black marriage. A lot of times black marriage is based off of children, right? We will say, I'm staying for the baby, or, you know, and not genuinely have a relationship that is, we're parents. So just as I stated earlier, you know, the children graduate, they go on with their lives, you know, you got about 21 years where you're in that role for them, and then they leave, and you look up and you see this person and you're like, I don't even think you're cute. I don't know why I slept with you. I don't know why I gave you a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth child, because I don't even like you. And we will forget that part of nurturing in black marriage. And then when it comes to divorce and going our separate ways, we will forget about the nurturing of healing that part too. And one of the participants in the class said, you know, I didn't get married to get divorced. I don't think anybody does. I don't think anybody does. And when it happens and you're disappointed and your expectations and this picture that you painted has been crushed, so you see it. That's what it looks like in the moment that it happens. But in the moment that you realize this has to have been a blessing. Maybe this person would have wound up cheating. Maybe this person would have wound up being abusive. Maybe you would have wound up cheating. Maybe you would have wound up being abusive. You don't know, but you have to trust the process. And we, you know, we always talk about divorce rates are so high nowadays and blah, 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 and all of this good stuff. And as a scientist, you know, the next question is, well, is divorce really only high because now there's an opportunity for divorce to be honored? In all systems of whatever, divorce is not something that's favored, but it is something that can happen. It's not like you know, for those people who are religious, it's not like you're going to go to, you know, this is a sin for getting a divorce, but you do need to learn how to stand properly in a marriage and get through something. It's not like, and now there's opportunities where women can actually provide for themselves. Well, maybe our women didn't do it before because they couldn't take care of themselves, or maybe they were just genuinely in love as well. And sometimes in this society, what has also been lost is that nurturing of the relationship and the cultivation of that. So maybe because we're getting married, but we're not necessarily in love, that's a contributing factor. We can't just say it's societal. We can't just say, I mean, all of these things, there's different factors. And so it was important for us to recognize that, yes, the generations of the past have stood through everything. Okay, you know, there was a sister she shared, you know, one couple that she knows has been married, I think she said 50 years or so, that they were, the woman shot the man in the thigh, and they were still together. And can you imagine the psyche of what y'all had to have gone through, right, to have a woman say, I'm going to shoot you, and then stay together? There's some type of understanding that was reached, and they're able to share that story and say, you know, we've stuck it out. Well, nowadays, it's a little bit different. If someone drives you to shoot you, you're going to jail. You know, I mean, there's so many different factors that we can say, and yes, they did stay together, and it's beautiful, and that's wonderful. But the next question is, are you truly happy? Are you truly in a space of being happy? Are you truly in a space? And when we get to a space of saying, it's time to go our separate ways, time to say we are exes. You're not failing. You see, it's it, you can still recognize that there is a blessing. Sometimes God breaks everything down and takes everything away to build you properly up. And when we begin to shift our minds from looking at our exes and our baby mama and our baby daddy as a bane in our existence, and we begin to recognize, gosh, you were really such a beautiful lesson for me, and I've learned patience. I've learned the importance of finding understanding because we didn't communicate. You know, I've learned the importance of being faithful. I've learned the importance of being honest. I've learned the importance of being transparent. I've learned that all of these things that make you a good person, okay? And when you recognize that someone isn't, again, they're at the starting line and you've already left and made it to the finish, the compassion of helping that person shouldn't stop because they're your spouse. You know, I think within the Black community, one of the biggest things is that when relationships don't go the way that we want them to go, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, whether it's siblings, whether it's our parents, when relationships don't go the way that we see them and see that they should go, we begin to withdraw. And that's not naturally who we are. Naturally who we are is scientifically our skin, the melanin in our skin, absorbs the sun. The sun is the life force energy to everything, okay? Everything in the universe is affected by the sun. The fact that we can absorb that means that we should be able to exude it as well. Think about that. When you drink water, you exude it out. You sweat it out. You use the restroom, okay? When you eat food, you can absorb it. It absorbs within your digestive system. It uses the nutrients that it needs, and then it releases all of the things that it doesn't need. We should be operating in the same way mentally, emotionally, and especially spiritually. When we absorb a lesson, when we absorb an experience, we should be able to exude what we don't need, but keep in the nutrients that we do need mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. There are, there were sisters in there, and we get really, really transparent. And if you are familiar with me and my work, you know that I'm very transparent. And my first marriage being such a lesson for me, you know, people will, oh, my God, I can't believe that you were in this domestic violence situation. And it's like, no. And, you know, I went through my process, and when I was processing, there were moments of, you know, tantrums, if you will, where I was healing from being in that psychological warfare, emotionally drained, spiritually attacked, all of these things, and physically abused. So, of course, you're thinking all of these things in my healing process. Yeah, I had purging moments, and I needed closure, and I didn't understand because once I finally took the step to get out of it, and that's a hard process to go through. So absolutely, but in the space now, I'm so happy. I understand, and especially when it comes to rearrangement, when it comes to the book, people always say, "So are you suggesting that my abuse was intentional?" And my answer is always very harsh, and it becomes a reality. Eventually, people will see it, and God willing, whoever's on the line listening, when it comes to your ex, you will begin to see, yes, it was intentional. Nothing can happen without whatever the God of your understanding, whether it's the law, whether it's God, whatever you choose, that oneness, that greatness, that higher power, it has already been written. So, yes, it was intentional. Yes, you were supposed to go through that. The point is, are you going to be clear enough to say, I'm going to stand and take the lesson, take the blessing, and be the best person I can be in every situation? And when I fall short, be compassionate with myself, forgive myself, be patient with myself, and say, I'm going to get through this, I'm going to stand in this, and if it is for me, then it is for me. And I'm just going to show up, and even if I don't like it, this is what it is, and I'm going to show up and still continue to be my best, because it's important to do that, to look at your exes the same way. You have to look at the baby mamas and baby daddies the same way, because when you are looking for them to validate how you feel they did you, or to confirm why they're so foul in your eyes, all you're doing is wasting time. All you're doing is wasting time, and you don't want to die in that state. You don't want to die in a state where you are still holding a grudge. And, you know, sometimes people say, when I die, everybody's going to love me. What? Think about that for a second. How about when you live, everybody loves you? See, that is the power of saying, I have given my submission to the Creator. Because when you are only consumed with saying, I submit to the Creator, which means in every situation, I have to show up and be this blessing. And I, in every situation, I have to recognize that I am to receive a blessing. See, there is never, you are never above receiving. There's no way that you can do that. To think that you are the only person who gives. And we do this too with our exes. Think about it. Think about how many times you have said to yourself, I gave him my everything. And we have to deal with this in the class too. I gave him my all. I submitted 5,000%. I did everything. You're not supposed to do that. And that's probably why y'all are exes. You're only supposed to give your all and submit your all and show up in your allness to the God of your understanding. You're supposed to show up and deliver for other people, and you're supposed to show up and receive from other people. This is the interconnectedness, and this is why the interpersonal relationships within the Black community are in such need of healing, because we have taken on a European mindset that one has to be over the other. There has to be a master. There has to be a slave, and we don't even see that. This is post-traumatic slave syndrome. There has to be an aggressor. There has to be a submitter. There has to be – and listen, everything comes down to choice. Brothers, and for the brothers who listen to the show, I really want you to pay attention to this statement. Submission is greater than leadership. So while you think that you are in some powerful position over a woman who submits to your leadership, please understand her choice to submit to you is so much greater than your ability to lead. Because in order for someone to submit and say, I'm going to show up and be your wife, I'm going to show up and I'm going to, in whatever capacity, however you define marriage, however you define whatever, and when that woman chooses not to submit anymore, you no longer have domain. So you are running around trying to get your tail caught, and you can't do it because you have no reign over it. See, the power, and this is why you can't put that power. You can't have a, I'm over you, you're above, below me. You can't do that. You can't think like that. That's not how our natural Africanness even feels. There's nothing. Leadership does not require you to be in control over another person's choice. If it does, you're not a true leader. Because if you're a true leader is going to lead everything around it, where everything around it is going to choose to want to follow, right? And then we hear these, you know, for the religious people, I'm going to push you a little bit right now. We hear all of these stories in our religious doctrines, right, that all of the leaders and all of the prophets who did this work never had the majority of people following them, right? Well, I am going to challenge you on your religious thinking and remind you that most of these stories are stories of people who are not African. And I'm saying this strongly because we also have to remember how these religions were birthed. They were birthed not from a place of people who had melanin, who were connected to, whose entire entity responded to the natural occurrences of the universe. We naturally do this. I'm gonna have another challenge. Tonight is the full moon, and we are in a major, major shift. I want you guys to just pay attention to the moon cycle. Pay attention to the moon cycle for 3 months straight and see the patterns of your attitude. This is for my Black community. See the patterns of your attitude, and you will see when it's a full moon what your energy is like. When it's waning, when it's gaining, you will see the pattern. Sisters, if you really are in tune, your cycles will follow this moon pattern, okay? This has nothing to do, and then you hear the people, oh, that's heebie-jeebie, that's that witchcraft. No, it's not. It's the systems that are interconnected within the systems. Our bodies are made up of stars. Our bodies are made up of everything in this universe. There is gold in our body. There is silver. There is platinum. There is oxygen. There is petroleum. There is everything in our body. And we get into the science and stuff. So if you think that system isn't interconnected to another system, then you're not going to ever be able to truly heal your community. If you think that the system of ex-wife, ex-husband, baby mama, baby daddy doesn't contribute to the overall system of the collective community, you don't understand how everything is connected. There is not, the design of everything is so divine that you have to submit. You have to say, goodness gracious, this is all connected. This is all connected. So what relationship does your ex or your baby mama or your baby daddy represent in your interconnectedness to be as productive to the entire community as possible? And that's usually a conversation that we don't want to have because we want to make our exes our excuses. Our exes are not our excuses. Our exes are our reason to exit excuses. We should be able to see and say, I'm no longer going to make this person the reason I am unhappy. I'm no longer going to make, you know, in an ideal situation, just was sharing, my mother and my bonus, I do not like the words, but my mother and my bonus father, my sister's biological father, but he raised me, if it were not for that relationship, I wouldn't have a father in my childhood, right? So I need, that is a huge contribution because I didn't feel like my life was missing anything. I didn't feel like I grew up with any daddy issues. It wasn't until I became conscious and someone put it in my face that I said, oh, I guess that's daddy issues, when really it really was not, because I was fulfilled in feeling like I had a daddy. And it wasn't until these suggestions came in. And this is because the Black community is so broken. We're so dealing with the effects of post-traumatic slave syndrome. If we were in our Africanness, every grown man would be a father. Every grown woman would be a mother. There's no, this is my child, and this is, there's no such thing of that. And being a bonus, having a bonus parent, and even my mother's third husband stepped in and became a bonus, and he wasn't the father to any of her, even one of her daughters. But this is someone it created where there were things that we didn't feel left out of. So how are we, and we discredit it because we want to ensure that there's some type of control. We want to ensure that there's some type of possession, and we have to get past that. When we can get to a space where we look at our exes, where we look at our baby mamas, and we look at our baby daddies, and we're saying, this is a blessing to us. And that blessing may have started by simply saying, we have this child together. But when we go beyond that, we can see the lesson. How much better are you now because you went through that? How much better are you going to be? But trying to hold that sacred space, trying to hold someone, trying to control someone else's sacred space is only going to bring chaos. And in our natural African self, see, that's European talk, to think that there's some type of possession. In our natural African self, we can be community, and anybody, any man you see, you're going to say Baba to. Any grown woman that you see, you're going to honor as a mother, because we understand we belong to the Creator. We do not belong to we're just a vessel. We're just a vessel. So being a bonus or having a bonus or introducing a bonus is going to increase the love. Next week we talk about, or this week, excuse me, we talk about, I do not like the word step. I've said that a few times. I don't like the word step. But this week in class with Heart, we're going to talk about bonus parenting, bonus children, and the blessings that they should bring to us too. You might have to learn something through being a new parent, being a new bonus child. You know, you and how you can heal, and really what that gives, the skill set that it gives you. It's the ability to say, gosh, I can go into the world confidently being who I wish to be. I can confidently see love poured on. We should not be, you know, if you should be in a space with your exes where you can say, when you begin to date, let's all sit down and have dinner. We shouldn't have 2 and 3 different birthday parties. We shouldn't be having 5 and 6. Come on, man. We should be able to say, look, y'all's household, we know that this child's birthday is coming up. You put 200 on it, we'll put 200 on it. And let's just have a big old bash. Do you understand the confidence level? Because village starts in your home. Community starts in your home. And this interpersonal relationship of your exes and your baby mamas and your baby daddies are going to aid the community in healing. Do you know there's so much drama and beef between men are usually behind a woman? Beef between women are usually behind a man. If we got on the same accord, like, yo, I don't want him, I don't want her, but I do want to do what's best for this community. I do want to do what's best for these children. I know you love this child, and I love this child, and I'm the new element. You're the new element. And we all can say, what is best for this child? When that child starts cutting up, they need to know that there's a support system that will not allow them. There is a net that happens that won't allow them. We have gotten so private. That's not community either. That's not Africanness either. Okay, we don't go with the, it. Is it? We circle around in African communities. We circle around. We put what's going on, and we stand as a community and heal it until it's done. No different than when you used to be able to go up the street and your neighbor 2 houses down saw you cutting up and they tap you on your tail and then come tell your mama so that you could get it. The same thing. It doesn't take a village just to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a family, because the family is the first village. So if we have gotten so far removed, and we will hold on to a grudge because we felt like we were wronged by our ex, and our baby mama did this and he's not doing that and she's keeping me from all of these horrendous things that have nothing to do with how do we heal to be better. And if you are in a further place, be the bigger person. Be the bigger person. What is it killing? Your ego? Your pride? And that's healthy for the community to see? There's no such thing. Access to who you are as a person intimately is already eliminated anyway. So to feel like you have to prove a point or teach a lesson to your ex, all you're doing is feeding that energy to continue to happen. And that energy, if they don't deal with it, it's going to be purged out into the community somewhere else. Maybe it'll be purged into their relationship. So now they're in a divorce situation. Or maybe it's going to purge itself into the relationship with your child. So now this is becoming uncomfortable for your children. You see how it affects this. Maybe it goes into this person is a cook and is cooking bad food with the energy. It has to be dealt with. And us as Africans have to get back to understanding spiritual, energy, and mental. All come before the manifestation of physical. By the time something affects you physically, by the time you have a heart attack, you've already been attacked mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. By the time cancer builds up, you have been holding on. Cancer is nothing but a holding on of something. Something has been held, and you're not letting go of something. So if it's in your colon, usually it's because you're not releasing something. It's in your prostate. Usually it's something behind you being contributing to your children. If it's in you, if it's ovarian cancer, something behind your children and your womanness. If it's breast cancer, something in your heart. If it's all of these things, you can associate it to. And this is not, go Google it yourself. Go look it up, because when I first got into this, this stuff wasn't popular. Now metaphysics, everybody's into it. But when I got into it, when I decided not to do medical school and I said, this is the work I want to do, everybody thought I was crazy. So go research it yourself. I don't want you to, you don't have to take my word. You can read, there's so much information on this out there now. So trust that when we are healing that interpersonal relationship in the community, we are healing, so the ripple effect is so much further than we can even see. So much further. We got a lot of people on the line, and I went in for a full hour today, but we do. If there is anyone on the line who would like to say anything, contribute, ask questions, disagree, whatever it is that you want to say, go ahead and press 1, and we will get you on the line. Hello, everyone who's on the line. I see you. I kind of zone out when I get into that mode, so I'm not really looking. But if you're on the line and you want to speak or say anything, go ahead and press 1, and I can get you in. But you guys know that I do not have to hear myself talk. I do not have to repeat myself and keep going and saying the same thing over and over. So I will not, if no one wants to say anything. And I also do, I've been doing it long enough, I understand it. When you don't say anything, it's because you're absorbing. And I appreciate that. So this Thursday, we are going to be dealing with bonus parenting, bonus children, bonus family, and the importance of standing and properly nurturing it. Because trust has to, it can't be, this is my stepchild. Not in the Black community. We don't love like that. We don't love like that. Even if we say it, we don't really love like that. There's a conversation. And